Well, good morning. Welcome to each one here this morning. So this morning, I want to talk about living above reproach, being blameless. But first, I want to do a recap on the last message I preached, which would have been on peace, which would have been a little bit before Christmas. Spiritual peace, peace with God, first of all. John 16:33, which we had studied this week as well, is, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I overcame the world. So in Jesus Christ, we will have peace. In the world, there's trials, there's tribulation and things like that. But we are to take courage because Jesus has overcome the world. Then emotional peace, peace with ourselves. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. He is the rock. Then relational peace, peace with others. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We're to pursue it with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So living above reproach, blameless. I didn't want to do a children's lesson this morning. So if the children, if you want to clear the front row for a bit. If the children ages 3 to 10 want to come to the front. So this morning we want to look at what it looks like if we do not live a life of above reproach, or if we don't live a life of blameless. That were blameless. Now, so we're just going to look at these jars as now. What they say. This will be you. This is will be sin, and this is Jesus. Now recognize this jar with you, which is nice and clean or clear, may not be a true representation of us when we're born, because we're born in sin. We don't naturally do what's right? But so what happens? What happens if we don't do what's right? Any thoughts on that? We sin. And when we sin, it clouds up our mind, right? It feels dirty. We don't feel good. We don't feel right. So when we're disobedient to parents, which the Bible talks about that we are to obey our parents in all things, right? So when we're disobedient to parents and we sin, then all of a sudden it starts getting cloudy, right? It's no longer nice and clear, so it becomes cloudy. What about if you don't tell the truth? Does that make you nice and clean? Makes you happy? Right? No. Rather, it clouds it up more. Right. All of a sudden, you feel yucky, you don't feel good, you feel guilty. Can you see that from down there? So that's why it's very important that we look to the life giver. But so how about if we're kind or not kind to your brothers and sisters? Does that make you feel good? is that, or not really, right? It also just doesn't feel good inside. It becomes more and more cloudy. So, and the Bible also says if we know to do good and we don't do it, it's sin. So if we know that we should do something that's good and we don't do it, then it's sin. So what's, before I go there is, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isaiah 59:1-2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear is heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So what's the solution? What do we do when we don't obey, when we're not kind? Do you have any ideas? What's that? We sin if we don't obey, but what do we do if we do sin? So we have a problem, we sin. What's the answer to that problem? We ask God to forgive us, right? So when we look at this, I mean, that's pretty dark and doesn't look good, right? Because of everything that we have, if we sin, then it doesn't make us feel good or anything like that. But how about a situation when you did something wrong? Like, say, for instance, you're playing a game with your brothers and sisters. You all do that, right? You play games with your brothers and sisters. And your brother or sister wins. You always just are very happy for them that they won, right? You don't get upset or angry or throw things at them or anything like that, right? Not? But part of the solution is to say that you're sorry, right? You tell your sibling, your brother or sister that you're sorry that you got upset, and then you also ask for your forgiveness. Then you also talk to Jesus and tell him that you're sorry, because Jesus is your helper. Jesus is your friend, right? And he gives you the power to do the right things. It is also, if you have hurt someone, like I said before, it's also important to ask forgiveness if someone has hurt you. John 3:16-17. Do we know those verses? John 3:16. Who wants to read it for me? Amen. For God so loved the world, that means he so loved each one of you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then Isaiah 1:16-19 says, "Wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil." I think I might have that on here too, yeah. "Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." So, if we sin, we have a problem, right? We don't feel good. We feel yucky. We feel guilty. But if we repent to Jesus Christ and we come to Jesus Christ and ask him to help us, he will help us, right? So when let's see what happens if we pour some of this in here. Like all of a sudden, it becomes nice and clean again, right? Wow. Jesus cleanses us, makes us completely clear, nice and clean. It's as if we have never sinned before. When we repent, when we ask Jesus to forgive us, it's as if we never sinned before. It becomes pure white, pure and clear again, right? So, another illustration is that sin cannot live in the presence of Jesus, right? So if Jesus is present in our life, then we don't sin, because Jesus gives us the power to be above sin. So let's see what happens if we pour this in here. What happened? It got a little bit, apparently the mixture is not quite, but let's pour this in here too. Okay, it's supposed to be nice and clear, but it didn't quite work out. But anyhow, but it's not near as dark as it was, right? So as we put our trust in Jesus, and when we do fall short, let's continue to put our trust in Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that can save us. Okay, you may go back to your seats. I appreciate the theme this morning in worship. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth and the life. He's the only one that we can have the power to do what's right. He's the only one that we can that we have. He's the advocate. He's the way the one that intercedes for us. He's our defense attorney that we can. When we do sin, that there is a solution. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins." If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So what does it mean to be above reproach? Other versions use blameless, guiltless. Like ESV uses above reproach. King James uses blameless. Then there's others that also use guiltless, that's used interchangeable. So the dictionary says reproach is to censor in terms of contempt, to charge with a fault in severe language, to upbraid, to suspect blame for anything. If a man's conscience will reproach him for a criminal, mean, or unworthy action, to treat with scorn or contempt. Another is shame, disgrace, object of contempt, disscorn, mean scorn or derision. Then that which causes shame or disgrace. But we're to live above that. We're to live above reproach. Then blameless, without fault, innocent, guiltless, above reproach, blameless, guiltless. Some of those verses are found in Titus. Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:1. In the ESV says, "This saying is trustworthy. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, he deserves a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. And let those also first be proved, and let them use the office." And then jump down to verse 10. "Lest these also first be proved, and let them use of the office of a deacon being found blameless. Then also, looks like I have that on here as well. Titus 1:5, this is why I left you in Crete, that you might put what remains in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone's above reproach, the husband of one wife, and the children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or in subordinates, in subordination. For an overseer as God's stewards must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy of gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. So we look at that as the qualifications as for someone to be in leadership. But is that the only for those? What do we think about when we think about reproach or blameless? That's for bishops, elders, deacons, youth leaders, everyone that's in leadership, correct? I mean, that's what it's for, right? Those that are in leadership needs to be above reproach. Correct? But is that... That's correct. It applies to them all. How about being a Christian? Does that apply to each one of us? It does. Because Paul is instructing Timothy that he appoints elders in every town as I directed you. If everyone is above reproach, that's not the ones that are in leadership that he's looking at, but he's looking to ordain someone in leadership, and he's saying to look out and look for people that are above reproach and then appoint or ordain those. So, yes, it applies to each one of us. Acts 6:3 says, therefore, brethren, seek out among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. This was before there were deacons, so it's not necessarily just referring to the ones that are already in leadership. 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Again, I had said above reproach, blameless, guiltless, all sort of, depending on the version, it uses the same word. So in short, the idea behind above reproach and well thought of is largely the same. The elder, pastor, overseer must live a life of Christ-like character and virtue that's not easily refuted by those who know him best. The closer you look, the better the mature Christian appears. So let's look at some examples in the throughout the Word. So we look at Joseph's life. His response was when he was tempted to sin is, how can I sin against God? Genesis 39:4-9. Actually, for the sake of time, I'm going to look at 8 and 9. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what it is with me in the house and has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So his response was, how can I do this great wickedness? Not just sinning against Potiphar's wife, but he's sinning against God by doing that such great wickedness. Then we also look at some of the men of faith in Hebrews 11. We look at, like, when you read Hebrews 11, it's like, wow, these men were perfect. You go down through the list by faith, by faith, by faith. But when you go back and actually read the actual account, you realize that each one of those made mistakes. Do we make mistakes? Did they make mistakes? Yes, but by faith. They still choose to trust God, to walk by faith in the midst of in spite of their shortcomings. Dirk Williams escaped from prison. He fled over thin ice because of his lighter weight from being in prison and not having enough to eat. The ice held him. However, the guard chasing him fell through. Dirk, hearing his cry for help, turned around and helped him. Therefore, he was captured again, tortured, burned alive at the stake. Why would he do that? Why would a human being do something like that? He could have easily got away. I mean, the guard that was after him fell through the ice. He would probably perish. But no, because he lived a life of Christ and was above reproach, he knew he had to turn around and help the guard that was after him. So we see that and the story goes that the one that he rescued, he tried to plead for his Dirk's relief, to release him. But the others said, no, I mean, he can't. But again, you look at that situation, he knew if he turned around, he's going to go back into prison. He's going to continue to be tortured. But he did it anyhow because do hard things. He did what was right, regardless of the situation, regardless of what it meant for him. He did what was right. So how about our thought lives? Take our thoughts captives? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Does that mean that we won't get tempted? No. But when there's a temptation given, Christ gives us the power to resist that temptation, to take our thoughts captive, and to walk in purity before Him. How about our secret life? What do we do when no one's watching? Where do we turn to when we're bored or discouraged? Hopefully we'll turn to Jesus Christ, like the illustration given, when we are tempted, or even when we do fall, that we'll turn back to Jesus Christ. He is the one that cleanses us, not just by doing, not just by trying to do better, but He gives us the power to do what's right. He gives us the power to live upright lives. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. Living above reproach. When someone looks at you or thinks about you, do they in their minds think about what a great man, what a great Christian, what a great testimony that you are, that you're living a life above reproach, that if someone would blame you about something, that they would not be able to prove it because it's not true? Is that the way that we live our lives, above reproach? So being above reproach doesn't mean you don't sin or make mistakes. It means living your life with God's purposes and not your own. It means that when your name comes up, people can only find you as reliable and trustworthy. And maybe I should just clarify, sin, it means that you don't sin or make mistakes. But when you do fall, you get back up again, and you continue to put your focus on Jesus Christ. If we stay tenderhearted and open to God's refinement, always listening for the Spirit, we will be above reproach because we are hidden in Him, not because we are operating on our own strengths or our own terms. So let us seek first to know our Father, then abide in Him and be sanctified. The Trinity, Jesus Christ, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, He is the one that sanctifies us. He is the one that gives us the power to live above reproach, to walk a life that's blameless in holiness, transparency before Him. First Corinthians 1:6-9, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So who wants to be called? Who wants to be blameless in the day of Jesus Christ? We all want that, right? We want to live our lives that when Jesus Christ comes back, when the eastern skies open up, and Jesus Christ comes back for His church, for His bride, we want to be found blameless. Colossians 1:19-23, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself by Him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet has He now reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, when ye have heard and was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Verse 22, in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. So Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of His cross and has reconciled all men to Himself. And through that, He's able to present you, each one of us, unblameable, holy, and unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight, in Jesus Christ. He has made it possible for us to be unblameable and to live above reproach. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Through 24, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Paul is writing here, he gives a command, abstain from all appearance of evil. But he doesn't just give the command, he doesn't just stop at that, but he also gives the solution. And the very God of peace will sanctify you, holy. And the God And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Again, it's Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the solution for us to walk blameless, to walk above reproach. It was a devotional from my utmost to his highest. It's prayerful inner searching. Do we believe that God can fortify and protect our thoughts, our thought processes far beyond what we can go? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If this verse means cleansing only our conscious level, may God have mercy on us. The man that has been dulled by sin will say that he is not even conscious of it. But the cleansing from sin we experience will reach into the heights and depths of our spirit if we will walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7. The same spirit that fed the life of Jesus Christ will feed the life of our spirit. It is only when we are protected by God with the miraculous sacredness of the Holy Spirit that our spirit, soul, and body can be preserved in pure uprightness unto the coming of Jesus, no longer condemned in God's sight. Hallelujah. It is through Jesus Christ. The cleansing is not just in our conscious level, but he cleanses us complete. Like I read earlier, it says, though your sins be as scarlet. So we can find that now. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be made as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So even if you have sinned, even if you have fallen far from grace, and you repent, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You look at the snow right after it falls, and it's just the whiteness that's out there, the purity. They shall be as white as snow. So in closing, live a life above without regrets, above reproach, blameless. When we do fall or fail, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you be done with love. As I was preparing for this, my thoughts went to the song, Open the Wells of Salvation. Lord, I'm fondly, earnestly longing in thy holy lightness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin, alive unto thee. Crucify all the earthly within me, empty of sin and self may I be. I would be thine and serve thee forever, filled with thy spirit, lost in thy love. Come to my heart, Lord, come with anointing, showers of grace sent down from above. Open the wells of grace and salvation, pour the rich streams deep into my heart. Cleanse and refine my thought and affection, seal me and make me pure as thou art. May that be our prayer as we walk this Christian life, as we think of walking above reproach, as we are sold out to Jesus Christ, and as we live for him in every area of life. May it be, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing in thy holy lightness to grow, thirsty for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Father, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord, this morning. We thank you that you are our all in all. We thank you that we can come to you, Father, that you cleanse us from the inside out. It's not just a bit, but Lord, your word says, even though our sins be like scarlet, or even though they be red like crimson, you can cleanse them. You will cleanse them whiter than snow. So, Father, we just commit this time to you, Father. I pray for each heart here this morning. Lord, if there's anyone here that's struggling with sin, struggling with living above reproach, struggling with living a life that's blameless, I pray that you would speak to that heart this morning, Lord. May your name be glorified. Lord, when there is temptation, you also provide a way out, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by you. But we thank you, Lord, that you have provided that way and that you are the good shepherd. We just praise you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.